In the southeastern corner of Idaho, 80 miles from Yellowstone National Park and standing at the headwaters of Idaho's Blackfoot River, Caribou Mountain rises 9,803 feet above sea level. The mountain is the highest point in a range that is rich in both natural beauty and history. In the valley below, naturally carbonated mineral springs first attracted Native Americans to the place they called Tosoiba, which means land of sparkling waters. Caribou Mountain was named not for the northern cousin to the elk, which still live in great numbers on the mountain slopes, but for an early miner known as Caribou Jack. Born Jesse Fairchild, Caribou Jack earned his nickname telling tales of gold mining in the Yukon, where caribou were so abundant you could cross the river on their backs. Caribou Jack shared his tall tales with the local characters who inhabited this region in the 1800s, including William Clemens, a former Pony Express rider and postmaster of the small mining town of Caribou City. William Clemens' cousin Samuel, a writer and reporter for the San Francisco Chronicle, called William Cousin Billy. Cousin Billy delighted in telling many entertaining stories of life on the western frontier to his big city cousin, Samuel Clemens, later to be known as Mark Twain. The gold rush soon came and went, adding its colorful history to the Caribou Highlands. But the once glorious gold mines of the region are long abandoned, and for the last half century, a new history has been written. This new chapter also revolves around man, mineral, and nature. But the star is no longer gold. It is phosphorus. Unlike the shiny yellow metal that brought Caribou Jack and so many others to southeastern Idaho, the ore from which phosphorus is extracted looks rather ordinary. But phosphorus plays a unique role in the natural world. Unlike gold, phosphorus makes life possible. Phosphorus is essential in all cells, in nervous tissue, and in bones. It runs the biologic engines that turn sugars into energy. It is the bond that holds the genetic codes of DNA together. Without phosphorus, life would not exist. Phosphorus is found on the table of basic elements between silicon and sulfur. In compounds with other elements, it is the building block for hundreds of products. It brightens teeth and toothpaste, makes bread rise, adds the fizzle to soda pop. It can be made into a treatment for metal, a hydraulic fluid for airplanes, a purification for water. In one form, it causes phenomenal growth in plants. In another form, it is an effective and environmentally safe herbicide for unwanted weeds. It helps keep hospitals and food services sanitary, and it can put out the flames of a raging forest fire. The history of phosphate ore in southeast Idaho goes back some 250 million years. At that time, southeastern Idaho was on the fringe between the outer shelf and the open ocean basin of the Permian Sea. There were highlands to the east and south, erosion from which provided sediments to the basin. Upwelling currents brought nutrients and organic matter from the deeper ocean up onto the shallower shelf. Where there was life, even microscopic life, there was phosphorus. This phosphorus-rich matter deposited on the shelf created a layer known as the Phosphoria Formation. Millennia later, but still in the Cretaceous and early Tertiary eras, the oceans receded and geologic forces created the landforms and topography that are now present. The thrusting and folding of continental plates produced the northwest, southeast trending mountain ranges characteristic of the Caribou Highlands today. In the late Cenozoic era, faulting caused the down-dropped valley floors. Weathering and erosion of the folds over the last 60 million years has exposed the phosphoria on the flanks of the ridges. This process has made the deposit relatively easy to locate and develop. The weathering process also affected the deposit chemically by removing magnesium, carbon, and carbonate, leaving a phosphate-enriched deposit. This weathering can occur at times to several hundred feet in depth. The extent of this phosphoria deposit formed an area that is now referred to as the Western Phosphate Field. This geologic province stretches from southwestern Montana to northeast Utah and contains billions of tons of phosphate rock. The richest deposits, 40% of the nation's phosphate reserves, are found within a 100-mile radius of the Caribou Highlands. It is this area that has now become the source of raw material for the world's leading producers of elemental phosphorus. Seleucia, a chemical specialties company in a joint venture with its predecessor, Monsanto, operates one such phosphorus-producing facility. The Enoch Valley Mine, Solutia's third mine site in its 50-year history in Idaho, is located approximately 19 miles northeast of Soda Springs. It began operation in 1989 and will continue through 2001. The property is a long, low ridge that runs northwest to southeast. The site includes 55 acres owned by Solutia at the north boundary, 838 acres owned by the Idaho Department of Lands, and 582 acres of U.S. Forest Service land to the south. The areas northwest of the mine are dryland farms. Other adjacent areas are mostly public lands, which are used for grazing and outdoor recreation. The office and shop facilities for Solutia and the mining contractor, Dravo Soda Springs, are located on the west side of the property. Located about 12 miles north of the mine site is the Grays Lake National Wildlife Refuge, which contributes significantly to the bird and aquatic plant species diversity of the area. Mining and reclamation are ongoing, with active mining taking place in two pits, one toward the north end of the property on state land, and the other towards the southern part of the property on state and U.S. Forest Service land. The active mine pits are currently about a half mile apart and are advancing toward each other, with the final pit to be near the middle of the lease by the year 2001. Elevations range from about 6,600 feet to over 7,100 feet. The diverse topography includes grassy meadows, steep drainages, and exposed rock outcrops along the ridges. Vegetation communities consist of bitterbrush sagebrush on the south and west-facing slopes, while the north and east-facing slopes and drainages are wooded with aspen and Douglas fir. Even while mining and reclamation at Enoch Valley are ongoing, planning and environmental evaluations of the South Rasmussen mine are conducted to ensure a plentiful supply of raw phosphate ore to feed plant operations well into the 21st century. Mining activity takes different forms depending on conditions. Reverse circulation drilling is a method used to explore for phosphate deposits. Because of the dual-walled construction of the drill steel, samples have less chance for contamination with beds that have already been drilled through. Reverse circulation drilling is a cost-effective method of conducting initial exploration, where the emphasis is on subsurface location and tonnage. Wireline core drilling is another method for exploration of phosphate deposits. Although core drilling is more expensive, it provides more accurate samples and details of the deposit that can't be collected by other drilling methods. Core drilling is also used to drill through the Phosphoria Formation and into the underlying Grandeur Tongue and Wells Formation to sample for slope stability analysis. Solutia has had a core drilling program for more than 30 years. With the information that the geologist obtains from the exploration drilling, they are able to work with the mining engineers to plot a typical cross-section of the mine pit with the pit outline and the rock seams. The depth of an average pit ranges from 350 to 450 feet, and the average width of a pit is about 1,000 feet. The lower ore seam is approximately 40 to 50 feet thick. The middle or center shales are about 75 to 90 feet thick, and the upper ore is 15 to 20 feet thick. Prior to mining, retention basins are constructed to trap any sediment that might be in runoff water. These basins are now maintained to function as high-value wetlands. Marketable timber is also harvested before mining begins on a new site. Any non-marketable timber is pushed into slash piles or is placed in special areas to be reclaimed for use as habitat for small mammals. Then topsoil is removed and initially stockpiled for reclamation. As soon as areas become ready to be reclaimed, all other topsoil is direct hauled and placed on the new areas to be planted. Blast hole patterns are then laid out in the harder rock seams, the limestone, shale, and chert. The phosphate ore is usually soft enough that it does not need to be blasted. As mining progresses, the ore and excess rock are removed in 20-foot lifts. Typically, 80-foot benches are left in the limestone to help with slope stability, and haulage ramps are built into the chert. The shale between the two ore seams is evaluated based on its color, texture, and chemistry. If possible, it may be used as a planting medium. Shovels and trucks are utilized to extract the ore and rock. At the Enoch Valley Mine, the contractor has 3 Hitachi shovels and 9 Caterpillar 777B 85-ton capacity trucks. When not mining ore, the mining efforts are concentrated on removing overburden, or rock above and below the phosphate seams. There is extraction of the ore in the winter as well, but not to the extent as during the summer months. The Enoch Valley Mine produces approximately 1 to 1.5 million tons of ore and about 3 to 5 million cubic yards of additional material each year. It operates on 2 10-hour shifts, 4 days a week, for 10 to 12 months each year. The mine employs a workforce of from 75 to 90 people. 2 of the 3 shovels have the traditional front shovel attachments, while the 3rd shovel has the backhoe attachment for digging the ore out of the last cut in the pit or for excavating rock from restricted areas. To assure quality control at the mine, ore trenches are made for taking samples of each break in the layering within the ore seams. The samples are analyzed at the company lab. Results are used for grade control and to add to the chemical database to allow better predictions of future ore. These trenches are made approximately every 300 feet along the strike of the deposit and are then offset by 100 feet for each 20-foot lift. Another useful tool to assure quality control at the mine is a slope board attached to a Caterpillar D10 bulldozer. The operator can peel away any remaining ore from a seam of shale or peel mud seams as thin as 6 to 8 inches from the adjacent ore. The ore is stockpiled at the tipple loadout facility at the mine in 2 separate piles, a blend 1 for higher grade ore and a blend 2 for lower grade ore. It is hauled separately to the plant site 19 miles away and kept separate at the plant where it is blended in appropriate ratios for feeding into the process. At the tipple, the ore is conveyed onto screens where material of less than 2 inches is the desired size. Larger material, up to 6 inches, is sent to a crusher, and even larger material is diverted and stored in a separate pile at the mine. Triple trailer trucks, also called ore trains, transport approximately 13,000 to 15,000 tons of the phosphate ore to the plant each day. Each hopper or trailer holds about 70 tons of material, giving the truck a 210-ton payload and a gross vehicle weight of about 315 tons. When land is disturbed by mining activities, reclamation is a critical responsibility, and it is taken seriously at Soda Springs. Extensive efforts have been made to rehabilitate mined areas. Today, the overburden is routinely backfilled into mine pits where it is shaped, covered with topsoil, and reseeded, all in the effort to increase its ability to support the growth of new vegetation. Native and high forage value grasses, wildflowers, forbs, shrubs, and trees are planted to restore and sustain a diverse biological environment. The land is being returned to a productive condition equal to or better than its pre-mining use. Concurrent land reclamation is an integral part of the mining process and is ongoing at the Enoch Valley Mine from beginning to end. During the initial excavation of the first pit, excess rock is placed away from the pit boundary into external overburden dumps. Typical pit lengths are kept short, usually between a quarter to a half mile, so that the external dumps are kept to a minimum. After the initial pit is mined out and a new section of pit is started, the backfilling of the initial pit usually takes place. Seleucia prides itself on keeping the reclamation as close to the active mining as possible. In order to limit disturbance to minimal acreage throughout the process, Seleucia and Dravo Soda Springs construct their external dumps from the toe upward in lifts. This is very different from the widespread practice of building external dumps by end dumping from a maximum final elevation. A similar improved method is used for reclamation of the pit backfill. Another method of reclaiming the mined land that is practiced extensively at the Enoch Valley mine involves careful salvaging of large clumps of native trees and shrubs. This is referred to as bucket loader transplants. In the past, when new areas of the pit were being opened, much of the native vegetation was cleared from the site. Today, standard practice at the Enoch Valley mine is to carefully excavate clumps of native vegetation with the large front-end loaders. These clumps are then placed into the newly graded land to be reclaimed. The transplants help to break up the new landscape of the typically low-growing grasses and forbs and provide islands of native vegetation. The cooperative relationship between Seleucia and its mining contractor has made this work second nature to the operators preparing new areas for mining. Besides the bucket loader transplants, lodgepole pine and quaking aspen seedlings are planted on north and east facing slopes as a means of re-establishing the native vegetation. Seleucia collects aspen seed from trees on the site each spring and sends this seed to the Bitterroot Restoration Native Plant Nursery in Hamilton, Montana. At the nursery, the seed is propagated and then returned to the mine about 6 months later for planting. This method ensures a known seed stock and actually maintains the genetic makeup of the trees in the area. Knowing the elevation of plants is critical to ensure survival, since plant species need to be planted near the same elevation from which they are derived. Post-mining land uses in the southeastern Idaho highlands includes livestock grazing, wildlife habitat, and recreational uses. Mine land is reclaimed with all of these land uses in mind, resulting in productive multiple land use after mining. On a landscape that originally had very few, if any, wetland areas, Seleucia takes great efforts in creating and enhancing wetlands. Many of these features were initially built to serve as simple sediment retention basins. However, by aggressively controlling upstream erosion to keep sedimentation to a minimum, and by planting native aquatic vegetation, an area that was once a pond will transform into a healthy and productive wetland. The wetlands that have been created on the Enoch Valley mine not only benefit large game and other mammals, but also serve as an important stopover and nesting area for migrating waterfowl, including sandhill cranes. Since 1994, at least one pair of cranes has nested each year in one of the wetlands, and the birds have successfully fledged chicks each summer. With the outstanding efforts of Seleucia and Dravo Soda Springs in reclaiming the mine land, and the close proximity of the Grays Lake National Wildlife Refuge, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service allows Seleucia to harvest aquatic plant species from the refuge at least once each season. Other cooperative efforts to benefit wildlife involve the construction of nesting platforms for birds of prey on some of the exposed limestone high walls. This work has been done in partnership with the Idaho Falconers Association. Other projects performed on an annual basis at the mine involve the construction of brush and rock piles on newly reclaimed areas to provide habitat and cover for small mammals and birds. Seleucia's most recent project for establishing habitat was the construction of the first of its kind, an artificial bat cave. The project was a cooperative effort between Seleucia, the Caribou National Forest, and Bat Conservation International. This project was not done to replace habitat that may have been lost due to mining, since there was very little bat habitat in the area prior to mining. Instead, it was a project that was initiated to provide new habitat in an area that has historically had very little habitat for bats. It is one more demonstration of Seleucia's commitment to the land and the environment. In September of 1996, Two 50-foot-long culverts of 8.5-foot diameter were purchased and delivered to the Enoch Valley Mine. Work began with welding steel supports into each of the culverts. After the supports were in place, the culverts were moved to the project site near a created wetland on a reclaimed mine land. Excavation work began in October to make a deep trench for the lower culvert to be placed in. The lower culvert serves as the winter hibernation chamber and had orange 3/4-inch by 1/4-inch safety netting attached to the roof from which bats would hang. Then the upper culvert was placed perpendicular to the lower culvert and on top of it. Next, the ends of the structure were covered with chain link fence to keep material from falling in while the structure was buried. A stainless steel 3.5-foot length and 3-foot diameter section with a capped end was attached on the top of the upper culvert, about 12 feet back from the opening, and was lined with the orange safety netting. This section serves as the summer maternity roost, where bats gather to give birth to their pups. At the entrance of the entire structure, horizontal bars were welded in place with 5.5-inch spacing between each bar. This was done to keep human and animal intruders out of the cave. By the end of October, the structure was finally completed, with only the opening protruding from the ground. Due to the cold temperatures at the completion date, it was too late in the season to be occupied by bats. In late September of 1998, a few bats, probably scouts, were recorded entering the structure. The experts at Bat Conservation International are confident that, in time, it will be utilized by one or more of the 11 species of bats in southeastern Idaho. Along with serious environmental and conservation efforts, education of the public is very important in the mining industry. Each year, Solutia provides tours for as many as 500 people. Especially important are school groups. Young people are given the opportunity to learn and understand the importance of mining, and to see firsthand that mining and the environment can and do coexist effectively. Solutia and other phosphate producers, along with land management agencies, have worked together to develop a series of videotapes and booklets that have been disseminated in schools and libraries throughout Idaho and the Northwest. The goal of Solutia is to continue to be responsible stewards of the land while remaining the leader in elemental phosphorus production.
We're pleased that we've been recognized a number of times, and we're pleased that we have a group of agencies who are enthused and believe in the recognizing rather than penalizing. And we have been recognized for a number of times over the last 20 plus years for the work that we've done here at Enoch Valley and in our previous operations for the reclamation work and the quality of environmental work that we do just on a day-to-day basis. In 1992, we were honored to be one of six recipients across the United States to receive from the Director of the Bureau of Land Management their highest award, the Partners in the Public Spirit Award, from the director there. This is the highest award given by the Bureau of Land Management for users of the public lands. We were awarded in 1993 a couple of awards by the Idaho Mine Lands Award Committee. And this is a group of people that's composed of representatives of the Bureau of Land Management, the U.S. Forest Service, the Idaho Departments of Lands, Department of Environmental Quality, and the Idaho Fish and Game, who work together to recognize outstanding opportunities and work done by the mining operations across the state. We received the Annual Operations Award for Excellence in Annual Operations, and our reclamation specialist was also recognized as being the outstanding reclamationist in the state. We've also been nominated a number of times since then. In fact, I believe we've been nominated in each subsequent year for these same types of awards. We were recognized along with the rest of the corporation on the President's Award for Sustainable Excellence, which was granted to Monsanto in 1996. At Solutia, it's our philosophy to leave the land in a better condition than we found it with initially.
As the phosphorus industry of southeastern Idaho prepares for the 21st century, it will increasingly rely on tools of technology that were unavailable to the gold miners of a century ago. But more than the latest technology, the finest equipment and best planned facilities, the key to Solutia's success is the quality of the people who work, live, or recreate in the Caribou Highlands. These phosphate miners have already survived longer than most prospectors in Caribou Mountains gold rush days. The men and women at Solutia's Enoch Valley Mine have committed themselves to a principle of sustainability. Like their predecessors, they ply their living off the mineral abundance of the landscape. Unlike their predecessors, their challenge is to do so without detracting, but in fact enhancing the richness of Caribou Mountain, its natural beauty, and its historical legacy.